I do think that there are times where it's not really being looked over. I feel like I know I'm better than what the people in the room think. And it's not like I don't get upset about it. I don't get anything. Like, whenever you get your chance and you know what you can do and you know people are underestimating you, you just take a hold of it.
Bronx made, Bronx made, Bronx made, Bronx made, Bronx made.
Hey, que lo que? Welcome to Bronx Girl at Heart presents Casa Confessions, where young bosses and creatives confess funny and harsh truths about their come up. I am your host, Alanis Antigua. So happy to have you guys back. We've been on a super long hiatus, but by the time you guys see this episode, I'm not even sure how we're going to lay it out for you guys, so it might not have been a hiatus for you, but I'm so happy to be back here with everyone. And today we're coming with the energy, we're coming with the hot topics, all of the poppin' trending topics on social media right now. And just to get into it, it's going to be Stunna Girls beef with Ciara, Taraji P. Henson standing up for Black actresses, Spotify versus Lil Nas X, and this phone always ringing. Hello? Oh, I forgot we had a guest. Come on in. Oh my God.
Hello.
Hello. How are you doing?
I'm feeling good. How are you?
Welcome, Johnny. But you are an artist, so what is the artist name you're going by?
I go by Johnny D. Rocket.
Johnny D. Rocket. Amazing. Mm-hmm. If you want to come on in a little bit together. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Johnny, you are an artist, a member of Slum Children, and so on and so forth. The list goes on, I'm sure.
Right.
And we know each other from way back in the day. We know each other from...
I met you in high school.
It was in high school. Senior year?
Yeah, like senior year, yeah.
Crazy. But anyways, I'm so happy to see you here. So you happy too. For the growth and the artistry.
Where y'all too. Both of y'all. You too, LR.
Oh, LR in the back. Shout out. And I don't know, I just want to clap again. Shout out to the young artists doing their thing. Word. Yes. Okay, so as I mentioned, today we're going to talk about a host of things that are popular on social media. But before we get into it, I want the people to learn a little bit more about you. So tell them where to find you on social media, and also this is a good time to plug any projects that you're promoting right now.
All right. So my name is Johnny D. Rocket. You can find me on Instagram, not X really, but I post on Apple Music, Spotify, SoundCloud. I'm a melodic rapper. That's what I like to say. I'm like a little bit of hip hop, a little bit of pop. Right now, I just released a song called Four Nights. It's on Apple Music and Spotify. I want to give a shout out to Slum Children and Isaiah Keaton and Stashi. And Isaiah's dropping a song called Let It Go on January 17th. So definitely check that out. We got a music video coming with that. And, you know, representing Brooklyn, New York. And, you know, I'm a Honduran American, an actor, a rapper, and...
You just do it all.
I like doing things. I like creation.
So can you explain to us what is Slum Children?
Slum Children is a collective of different artists. We got visual artists. We got, like, visual artists, meaning, like, paintings. We got camera people, like, the photography, video. Chris, I want to give a shout out to my boy Chris, because he's a creative director and he's doing a really good job at it. He's helping produce things. I want to give a shout out to Frank and Toss, the whole camera team. We got me. I'm a rapper. We got my friend Isaiah. He's a rapper. We have a band. Give a shout out to Neil and Bryce and Willie and Drew. And damn, I'm forgetting everybody. I'm blanking on everybody's name right now. It's bad. And Thad.
Yeah, where can they find Slum Children and all those people that you just mentioned? It's like Black and brown creators mainly, right?
Yep. That's really cool. And you can find us on Instagram. We have our own webpage, slumchildren.net. There's merch there. There's, you know, you can find all the whereabouts. We're doing shows. We've been doing shows for like a good 3 months now. And they always go well. So I definitely want to see people come out to the show, because it's fun. It's great. And we want I want to start partnering up with people. So like, like Bronx Girl at Heart, and you know, other brands, you know.
Yeah, we will, more in the future for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Now, before we get into the pop culture topics, I do want to remind you guys that Casa Confessions podcast is currently on Facebook, X, formerly known as Twitter, Instagram, and honestly, all the social media avenues. You can find us at Casa Confessions podcast, but if you go on X, it's at @big_Lonnie, so you can keep up with everything that's going on in the podcast and all our updates. And please leave a comment and rating on anywhere that you consume our content to join the conversation. We'd love to hear from you guys. Now we're gonna get into it. So Stunna Girl comes for Sierra.
Sheesh.
This was like a Twitter beef that happened. Stunna Girl is a rapper, and she's known for like really controversial, not controversial, but you know, really spicy lyrics. She's
okay.
A very sexual rapper, and she did a song that sampled Sierra.
Okay.
Sierra song called Goodies, and Sierra said Yaga. So Stunna Girl heard from her team that Sierra said nope. You cannot release that song. You cannot use the Goodie sample. And this was after Stunna Girl thought she did her due diligence. She paid a producer. The producer said everything was good. And then now the song is done. And she probably put a lot of hard work into it. And she cannot release it. So samples have been a topic of conversation in music a lot lately. Like, people are using samples. Some people say they're overusing samples. But what do you feel about Sierra doing that?
Well, first, I think I definitely understand Stunna Girl's feeling. Because, you know, as an up-and-coming artist, I'm sure people use tight beats and all this other stuff. And, you know, sometimes you make a whole song to something and you didn't buy the beat or you didn't buy the rights or something. And now you can't make that song. And, like, when you create something, it's like your baby. And now you got to just get rid of it. So I can see why she's upset. But Sierra has the right to do that. It's her song. I don't know why she said no. Maybe she didn't like the song. I would love to hear the song now.
Right,
we gotta find a snippet.
I did find the snippet. Ooh. Let me pull it up. But yeah, like the song is a little, you know, it's a little spicy. Have you heard of Stunna Girl? She gets into it and she says, you know, she says things girls want to say but can't say.
I've heard of her. I haven't really listened to her that much.
Yes, let's see if we can pull it up here. One second. So that is not Sierra's brand at all. Like,
nah.
Sierra, especially lately, before Sierra used to get freaky with her music, but lately Sierra's been on some, you know, Russell Wilson, godly vibe.
it's not a Russell's brand.
She was just in The Color Purple. Like, Sierra has elevated.
I didn't know that.
She was in The Color Purple. Y'all gotta watch The Color Purple. The Color Purple was so good. We should talk about it.
Yeah.
But yes, I can see how, you know, you said, like, for an artist, their music is their baby. So let's talk about Sierra.
Mm.
She created that song, Goodies, and I'm sure that was her baby. So, and Sierra actually does own a lot of her masters. This is probably
one of
the songs that she owns her masters to.
That's why she has say over it.
So she has a say over what people do. Everyone should have a say. If you're an artist, I believe that you should have a say over what people do with your music later on.
Mm-hmm. I definitely agree. I feel like me personally, I'd be like, yo, whatever you make with it, as long as it sounds coherent and good, not good just to me, but you know, there's a certain base levels of good that you got to reach to be able to put it out. You can put it out, but if Sierra don't want it out. Like, she don't want it out. I don't know why. She could probably make money off of that, but I guess she don't need it.
She doesn't need it. Yeah, and Stunna Girl, she did go off on Twitter and she went on a whole spiel. She did say that the song it wasn't like an authentic sample. Like, the Goodies song was sampling something else. So that was Stunna Girl's point. And she's like, if anything, the original producer should have a say over it, but not Sierra. Like, a lot of people have, supposedly, according to Stunna Girl, like, why her? Why stop her bag?
Because it's not on brand. It's messing up Sierra's bag. It's missing, like, image is everything. Perception is everything, so.
But isn't that so crazy with music ownership and how that works? Because you can sample a song,
mm-hmm.
and then someone 10 years later samples your song, and if your ownership and paperwork is the way it's supposed to be, you could be like, nah, that's mine, stop it. Even though you sampled,
even though you took it from someone else. Yeah, but also to the same point, like, would Stunna Girl be using this song if Sierra never did that to it?
Right.
Like, she didn't get the original sample.
Sierra is, like, the closest reference to that sound that we have in, like, recent history. So.
She probably elevated whatever that sound is to a level that other people want to use it now.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like if Sierra owns her music, she has the right to shut things down.
Mm-hmm.
It's just unfortunate. It's like once the record was out, people were excited for it. She was already teasing it for a while.
Yeah, that sucks. Like I definitely feel that. Like I've had a couple songs that like I can't find the beat anymore. Like I can't find the stems for it, or like wherever I bought the beat, like they're like, oh, we sold it to someone else. Someone bought exclusively, so you can't use it no more.
Oh,
and it sucks because it's like, damn, I made this.
Really a mess up on the producer's part.
Because
the producer gave her the beat.
Yeah.
Should have made sure everything was good and dandy for her to use it. Have you encountered any messiness with producers like that?
Nah. Like, because most of the beats that I acquire are, like, from people who, like, made it. Like, they made the beat. They're not sampling from someone else. And I think right now, the level that I'm at, like, Even if I put out a song that I sampled and I couldn't, they wouldn't notice it for a little while. I don't think.
Right.
It'll go unnoticed. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe Stunna Girl should put the song out on SoundCloud. She could still do that.
She wanted to make money off of it. But
she can't even perform it.
Yeah, I do think that what you're saying is cool though. That you're still finding producers that are making authentic beats,
yeah,
and not sampling, because it sounds like everyone's sampling.
I don't like to knock no type of art. Like, I love sampling. I love AI music. I like the SpongeBob trap.
Like AI music?
Some of it, yeah.
some of it is fire. They dropped, like, this Bad Bunny AI song.
That's what I'm saying.
And it was actually fire. And it actually sounded like a song that he would drop. And he was so upset about it. Like, he was hurt.
I would be upset about it if it was me, too. But, like, it's good for creation. It allows, like, expression. But I think that there's nothing wrong with using samples. I don't like songs that, like, take the song and just remake it with a little bit. Like, the Weeknd kind of did that.
Okay.
With I forgot what song it was called, but he basically sang the same song. Like, just, it's the Weeknd. It's like, it sounds more like a rendition than like a new song.
Got it. Yeah.
I don't like that.
I wish I remember what song. But yeah, that happens often. Nicki Minaj in her recent album, the track that she starts with is Are You Gone Already, and that samples a Billie Eilish song, and the Billie Eilish song was released not that long
ago. Yeah, I was about to say, that's damn,
like, definitely within the last 4 years, so people had a lot to say about that. But I thought it was a really beautiful song, especially because Nicki has bars, so it's like she met the sample. It wasn't like, sometimes they have the sample playing,
yeah,
and they're bringing nothing.
Yeah, the sample's carrying the song. Like, you can't have that. If you're gonna sample something, you gotta make it yours. You gotta take it over, like, you know, mix it all up, throw it back out as something different.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, we're gonna stay in the artist lane. I wasn't planning on speaking about this, but this did come across my timeline on the way here. So Ari Lennox, she's like all over the blogs and stuff because she responded to a social media user who says she is a mismanaged artist like Normani. And this was really interesting for me to hear.
Crazy.
I've been hearing this a lot about Ari Lennox and also artists that I love like Kehlani, that they get a lot of comments from people saying, you're underrated, you're mismanaged, like your team needs to get it together. Like, figure it out. You would have been way more successful. You would have been where this person is. Mm. And Ari Lennox went off. Like, she did a whole, you know, one of those, like, long-ass captions. Oof. But she said, I need y'all to wrap this up swiftly. As a neo-soul artist, it is a blessing to have made it as far as I have.
It is.
Especially in a world where it is clear my music is not for everybody. And that is fine, and that is beautiful. I love my fans, I see y'all, and I feel y'all more than ever. I am grateful and beyond blessed to have space in this music industry. She keeps going, she acknowledges that her sound is very niche, and she's just proud of where she's at. What do you think about that?
I feel like Ari Lennox is a smart, smart woman, because you can't sit there and blame your management for whatever. Like, it's not going to benefit you at all. You can't blame the fans. It's not going to benefit you. And to be where Ari Lennox is, like, she signed, I think she's on Dreamville, right?
Yes.
So she signed, like, I love Ari Lennox. I forgot she was on Dreamville though. But I love, to be an artist and make money off your music and to be able to just live off of it and use it to keep creating music is like a success story in itself. Like, there's so many, like, yesterday we were talking about, like, LA, and my friend was like, yo, most of the homeless, there's like a homeless crisis in LA. He's like, most of the homeless people are like failed creatives that moved out there, went for their shot and just didn't get it. And like, so to be anywhere, like to be known, especially to be like at Ari Lennox's level, it's like, what you might think is a mess up is like, I would love to be there. I would love to be like in Ari Lennox's shoes. I can't sing like her though, but.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying 100%. And that's why she had to come at this person who said, let me read the tweet that Ari Lennox reacted to. So I'm not going to say that. I was going to say that.
Cut, shout him out.
She said, Ari Lennox is one of the worst mismanaged artists, just like Normani. Her lack of success can be attributed solely to her team, which I'm starting to question why even sign an artist like her if you couldn't market her.
They sound like a fan, though. They sound like they like Ari Lennox.
But that's the thing. I, like, if I was an artist or if I was in Ari Lennox's position, like, comments like that would bug me, too. Because it's like you're calling her... First of all, it's a backhand. It's not a compliment.
Yeah, it's not a compliment. It's not a compliment.
Her lack of success. Like, who are you
to decide
what is success to her?
That you're on Twitter talking about Ari Lennox.
Yeah, lack of success. Like, people, okay, I think there's a lot to say about this. I think people on social media, you know, because now we have access to artists in a way that we haven't had before.
Yeah.
And, like, we see them and we assume that we know their intentions, their interests, their goals for life.
Mm-hmm.
And we selfishly, as fans, want our artists to be, like, at the top level.
Yeah.
And that's a good example of that is an artist named Kehlani, which I love and have admired for so long. I like Kehlani. And Kehlani has mentioned multiple times, like, I am happy where I'm at. I don't want to be at Beyonce level. I don't want to be at Taylor Swift level. I don't want to be at a level where I can't have any type of control
right.
of my world. You know, some artists are great just like touring. Like, Kehlani goes on tour like every few years, like, and she's been doing this for a mad long, for like a decade. Like, that's not successful.
Yeah, like, if you get a tour, you're doing better than like 90% of artists, to be honest.
Right. Consistently, you get to stay in an industry where people say it's just 15 minutes.
Exactly.
You get to stay in an industry for like a decade.
Mm-hmm.
And Kehlani's barely even 30. And Ari Lennox is still a young woman too. And she's been thriving. And she's on Dreamville.
Yeah.
Like, there's not that many women on Dreamville. Like, you got the stamp of approval from Cole.
Right.
Like, that's and all you need.
Yeah. She's a neo soul artist in a on a rapper dominated like platform. But also, like, I want to say, I compare, like, artistry and the industry to, like, pro sports. So, in pro sports, like, if you make a pro, like, team, you're doing good. Like, you did great. Like, you don't got to be, like, people don't even got to know who you are. If you're in the NBA, if you're in the NFL, like, you did good. You made some money off of it. And then, to the point where if people know your name as a pro sports player, like, you're doing really good. So the same thing with artistry. Like, if you get signed, or being signed doesn't mean you're doing good, but if you have some buzz and you're doing something good and you're finding ways to make music by making music, like, you're doing good. So Ari's doing really good.
Yeah. I love the way you put that. And I like how you compared the music industry now to sports, because I feel like that's where it's going wrong. I think people are in, like, putting in that competitive nature with artists like they do with sports.
Yeah.
And that's why it's like, for example, like, you see how people go on, like, people will literally have arguments and conversation. I don't know about sports, but about LeBron and
Michael Jordan.
Who else? Yeah, Michael Jordan. Mm-hmm. Two amazing greats. But in the, you know, it's sports and sports fandom, it's a thing to put people against each other, even if they're great. You know? Right. But I don't think it should be like that in music.
I honestly don't even think it should be like that all the way in sports. Like
well, sports is part of the culture. It's part of the culture to talk shit on the court. It's part of the culture. You know, people talk. That's what I'm saying. It'll be great basketball players. I know they're great because they're the only ones I know the names of. They're. And people will be having whole debates like, nah, he's trash. He's this and that. And it's like, bro, he made it onto the NBA.
Yeah.
He's making millions of dollars. But if he's just making $5 million a year compared to $30 million a year, he's like.
He's worse? Like, no. Like
even a bench. The bench players
make more money than I will ever see, like, in like 3, 4, 5 years.
That's what I'm saying, but people talk so much shit about basketball players, and I think they've been doing that lately with musicians, and I don't think it should be that way, because when it comes to someone's artistry, everyone's in music for a different reason.
Exactly.
Some people want to be like business moguls and take it to another level, like mm-hmm. Jay-Z. Some people just want to tour a lot.
Yeah.
Some people hate touring and hate performing.
I could see myself hating touring, but still doing it.
Yeah, like we have like artists like Summer Walker who do not like performing live. There's people that just want to be in the studio all day and just like record in a microphone, you know? Mm. And I think we should appreciate all artists for their diversity, their variety.
And their contributions.
Yeah, like at this point, making everything so competitive, it's like we're only going to have one of each. Like we're only going to have one R&B singer that we're allowed to love and say that's the great one.
Right.
We're only going to have one rapper that we're allowed to say that's the great one. It's messed up.
And okay. Oh, last point, you don't want like if everybody's being competitive, there's something called like a meta, right? Where in a meta, I don't know if that's like video game vocabulary, but like in a meta, everyone's gonna do this thing to be successful or nothing. Like it's like you got to do this and do it this way and to be successful. And like I feel like that gets rid of a lot of diversity, like a lot of creativity amongst artists. So like I don't want the industry to be as competitive as it is. It should be competitive because like you know you want everybody to compete to be their best, but. Not in terms of like money and like clout.
Yeah, I would say when there's like a trend in music and people keep doing the same thing, like I believe like Cardi B, for example, she kind of brought back the importance of like a music video. So mm-hmm. it's like she would drop a song with the music video, like she made every song like a huge event, mm-hmm. which I think is cool. And then other artists started to follow suit, but then it's also like that became boring. So I like that. Nicki Minaj, for example, not to put Cardi and Nicki against each other, but I like that Nicki Minaj, for example, led with her album. Like, she led with, like, a whole project. So, I like when artists switch it up. Like, we can have an artist that's big on, like, making an event out of everything. Mm-hmm. And we can have an artist there's artists that are more focused on, like, albums instead of singles.
Yeah.
And I like the variety. Like, one shouldn't be more successful than the other. And one isn't not successful or mismanaged.
They're different. We gotta respect differences.
Yes. Okay. So we'll switch it up and then we'll probably get back to music a little bit. Taraji P. Henson recently received a standing ovation at the talk. And Taraji P. Henson has been the talk on all the blogs lately. She's been standing up for Black actresses and she's been using this press tour for The Color Purple to talk about the plight of Black actresses and the fact that they've been underpaid, underappreciated, something Viola Davis has spoken to about in the past as well. How do you feel about this?
I don't know all the numbers behind Black actresses and what they're paid, but I do know there's not too many Taraji P. Hensons. Mm-hmm. So, like, if Taraji P. Henson's getting underpaid, then there's a problem.
Yeah, and I love that she's talking about it because that's the thing. Taraji P. Henson is one of the top Black actresses right now. So I love that she's the one saying, like, if I'm having a problem, imagine everyone else. And that's very much been the framework in which she's been, like, talking about this. It hasn't been, like, complaining. It's been more so, like, I feel a responsibility to elevate the playing field for the actresses that come after me. Mm-hmm. And if people aren't listening to me, how are they going to listen to them? And then how am I supposed to look at myself because I didn't do anything better for them? So she's been talking about this a lot during the press tour.
Purple.
She's been getting emotional, breaking down in tears often in several interviews, which I'm not used to seeing this level of vulnerability from a famous person in general. So my question to you is, can you relate? Have you ever been in spaces where you feel like you've been looked over? And how did you handle that? Whether it's been in your artistry,
where I've been looked over. I think where I'm at right now, I know that I'm not the center of attention for everyone. But I do think that there are times where I feel like it's not really being looked over. I feel like I know I'm better than what the people in the room think. And it's not like I don't get upset about it. I don't get anything. Like whenever you get your chance and I feel like it's a good thing. Like whenever you get your chance and you know what you can do and you know people are underestimating you, you just take a hold of it. Now, in regards to Taraji P. Henson situation and, you know, like black actresses, I feel like maybe it's not so much them getting looked over, but who's in charge of like hiring and think about all the directors. How many like black directors do you know?
Well, a lot of times what I've been gathering from this situation, a lot of times it's not really the directors or the producers, because those are all still kind of creatives in a way.
Yeah.
A lot of times it's the studios. So it's like a bigger issue. It's studios. And they look at their numbers and then they decide if an actress can sell internationally, for example. And sometimes they say that black actresses don't sell internationally and don't have a mass international appeal, even though that hasn't necessarily been the case. But that's the framework in which they put it, as to say that this person isn't as valuable as a Meryl Streep, for example.
You know, I think like one thing about like I've noticed about just the world in general, whenever something has a black woman in it, people automatically assume that it's about black women or just black women and it's not like say you put Taraji P. Henson in a movie. Critics might be like, oh, this is like a black female empowerment movie, when maybe it's not. Maybe she's just an actress in a movie doing her job very well. Yeah. And I feel like maybe a lot of like people who run these businesses look at it that same way. They're like, oh, this is not like a female black empowerment movie. So we can't have them. Like we gotta get someone else.
Yeah. What's scary about this, it's so nuanced and there's so many things to get into. But even in the press tour, the media has been spinning it and saying that Taraji P. Henson is having beef with Oprah because Oprah was one of the producers on The Color Purple.
Oof.
And they have clarified, they have since clarified and said that they do not have beef.
Of course, she's complaining. It's like, oh, yeah, she's definitely talking about the other black woman in the room.
That's why it's so amazing that Taraji P. Henson is doing this, because she's going on a press tour. She's using the time that all eyes are on her, and she's pointing it towards a bigger issue.
Mm-hmm.
And she's being vulnerable.
She's brave.
She's being brave.
Because a lot of people are going to be like, oh, you want to talk like that? We're not hiring you now.
Yes. So that leads me to Vivica A. Fox, that... Some paparazzi actually call her on the street and ask what she thought about actresses and what they're saying when it comes to being underpaid. And she was like,
yo, I'm good. Like, that's basically what she said. She said, y'all good.
Basically, she said, that's not my experience, boo. We good over here.
She want to keep that check, man. She like, oh, I say nothing. Like, it wasn't me.
Fox is getting paid more than Taraji.
No. definitely. But it's like I said, winning doesn't mean like you don't got to be Drake to be winning. You don't got to be like who's a very, very, very successful black actress. Viola Davis. Because I was about to say Taraji P. Henson.
But and like Taraji P. Henson is there. For now, like this generation, I think she's our.
So you don't got to be Viola Davis to be successful as an actor. You know, Vivica Fox doing her little Tubi movies and doing whatever, getting her little bag. No, I think she does.
She's a Lifetime movie girly too.
Yeah, and she getting her little bag. Not even little. I don't know how big the bag
it's
is.
A big bag but for her.
She's creating. She's getting a bag. She's satisfied. Now Taraji P. Henson. I don't think she's saying she's. Maybe she is unsatisfied, but she's just standing up for. Like she says, yo, I think we can do more. Vivica A. Fox is okay with what she got. Taraji P. Henson looks at what could be gotten.
But you see, I have a problem with. I'm not gonna say I have a problem with Vivica A. Fox because I don't know Vivica A. Fox, but I have a problem with people like that. I have a problem with when you're someone saying that there's an issue, and then you go to someone that looks like you, that you should see sisterhood.
You like, back me up.
And then they're like, not my problem and not my experience. Oh, that pisses me off. That has happened to me at work too. Where I'll say something, I'll be like, oh, like I feel like this is a little tough. Like I feel like this can be made easier. And then another person in my same position is like, I do it just fine, just like that. Like it's like,
A lot of people change is scary, man. Change is scary. A lot of people don't like change.
A lot of people don't like change, even if it'll benefit you. But I do feel in that situation, I'd just rather be like, you know, I support her and I'm hearing her out.
Right. Yeah. She could have done that without getting people upset.
She could have said, and she kind of did say she kind of did say like, love you, boo. You know, love you, boo. Nothing against you. And she said something like that, but it kind of felt a little shady to some people, and I get why.
Yeah, I could definitely see that.
Okay, now we're going back into music with Spotify versus Lil Nas X.
Oof.
So Lil Nas X recently got into some Twitter beef, mild Twitter beef.
Yo, he's always in Twitter beef, and he's good at it.
With Spotify, oh yeah, he uses it to sell his music.
Yeah, he's good. Like, I wouldn't want to argue with him on Twitter.
That's so funny. And because they said Lil Nas X is back with more mid music. And then they included a picture of him on the bottom and posted a link to the music. And this was Spotify on their social media account.
Damn, this is Spotify?
Yes.
Yo, they want smoke.
And then Lil Nas X responded with a meme, and it was like, me at Spotify headquarters tomorrow, and it was someone like, it was the person that jumped the judge?
Oh, yeah.
Me at Spotify headquarters tomorrow. What do you think about these social media coordinators for these companies, man?
They've been going crazy. Like, I'm always, it happens like once every couple weeks, like where you'll see some post from like a business or a brand. It's like, whoa, they said that? Like, I don't know.
Because it's probably someone like me.
Yeah, probably like an intern. Here he comes again.
It's a coordinator, you know, who's just
I'm 100% sure, like, their bosses probably was not happy about that.
Yes, because I feel like you can say things, you could join in on, like, cultural conversations. Yeah. You know, that's why they want younger people. Mm-hmm. But when you as Spotify now, because you're representing a brand.
Right.
And you're saying Lil Nas X is back with more mid music.
Yeah, like.
Like, you're hurting your relationship with that artist.
Right. You're hurting yourself. Like, his music, his mid music is on Spotify, trying to help make Spotify money.
I'm like, this literally had to be a coordinator or something, and I'm sure they got in trouble for this.
They had to be.
In trouble, but also they went viral, so.
Is this a reason Spotify wants to be viral? Or, you know, they say all attention is good attention,
Attention is good attention, to be honest. Damn. And the fact that they had Spotify, the fact that they had Lil Nas X respond, and then blogs are reposting this. It might be one of those things where the person got a slap on the hand, but they're like, "Ooh, this is good for us, low-key."
Yeah, like they, or maybe they fired the guy and like, "Yeah, we could use this, but you got to go."
But also, I don't know if Spotify needs this. Spotify is like
Spotify.
Streaming platform.
They don't, but you know, I don't know.
I feel like everyone likes clout though.
Yeah. If I ever need some clout, can we have fake beef?
Yes, of course. I would have fake beef with you. What would I beef with you about though?
Damn. I don't know.
Maybe you could like release a diss track or something. No, don't go too crazy.
I'm not.
I'm sensitive. Okay. So that's all for our trending topics.
Mm-hmm. Those were all new to me. Almost all of them were new to me, but I learned some new things. Weird.
Look at that. So let's get into slum children and this collective. Is that a good way to put it?
It's collective.
Yeah, you spoke about it a little bit in the beginning. Mm-hmm. I want to know what the mission is for slum children. Like, what was the idea in coming together and say, hey, we want to form this, and where do you want to take it?
So Slum Children started with my friend Isaiah. Like, he's the brains behind Slum Children. And it was him, his cousin Jace, and I actually met him at UB. We met at the poetry club, and then I started going to his house making music. We were both making music, and Slum Children started off as just like a clothing brand, I think, for him. And he would, you know, make art for it. He would draw, he would make t-shirts, sweaters. And then as we started meeting more people, like we met our friend Jernice. Well, he already knew Jernice. Jernice was his friend at first. And then we came up, like, I remember vividly one day in the summer, he was like, yo, I want to start performing live. Like, and a year later we had he started all this. So he had a bass guitarist, and then we met our friend Stashi, who sings. She's not in the band, but she sings. We met, I don't know the order of people, how we met them, but we became a band. So then it was me, Isaiah, the band, and Jernice. And I guess none of us wanted to just be one cohesive thing. So we're all our own artists that come together and make music. And then after the music stuff, it started becoming a whole bigger thing. Like, we started to have the shows. We had, you know, visual artists like come out to the shows, and it became more of like a creative collaboration. Yeah, like a movement.
And then you did the nicest thing for me ever. You gave me the song for our podcast,
for the cover,
Bronx Made. Like, and you just kind of like gave it to me basically as like a gift.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even remember how that came about. So what made you want to do that? What inspired the song Bronx Made? And
all right. So I remember, like I said, like I started seeing you do the podcast.
Yeah.
And I was like, I like that, because did you always say you wanted to be in radio? Or it's like, I just remember you being a communications major, and I was like, I saw this. I keep hitting this. I saw the steps, like,
yeah.
And I was like, I respect, like I said, I'm a fan of creation, and I respect that you're creative, and that you go for it. So I remember you're listening to one of them, and y'all had like a Pop Smoke kind of like transition like thing. Do you remember the thing before it?
A Pop Smoke transition.
It was like a almost like a Pop Smoke beat, but not like a beat. It was
we had a little thing that we like pulled from YouTube or something. I gotta listen back to it. I remember
listening to it, and I was like, I don't think this captures this podcast much.
Oh, so you were like, yeah, well, we have, they have is mid. Like,
I didn't say all that, but I didn't like it.
Okay,
but that beat, actually, I had bought it to make a song on it, and I made the song
in the Bronx Made beat.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And I didn't like the song. Like, I was like, so I just had the beat sitting in my hard drive for a while. And then I was like, I don't want to make a whole nother song to it, but I could make a cover, like a theme song. Cause theme songs don't have to be long. They can be like 10 seconds.
Yeah.
So, and then the podcast is called Bronx Girl at Heart. So I thought of everything Bronx. And it was like, I'm gonna just put it together. And there was one episode you said, I forgot where you said you were from, like the part of the Bronx you were from.
Yeah, you mentioned it. Marble Hill.
Yeah, you said that.
I grew up in Marble Hill. It like basically almost doesn't really exist anymore. It's Kingsbridge now, but Marble Hill. And Yeah, you mentioned the one train too, and I was like,
no, yeah, I said that's all the train like the 1, 2, 4, 5, 6 is all the trains in the Bronx. Marble Hill to Pelham Bay is like basically like the whole Bronx. Like it's like Marble Hill's over here, Pelham Bay is like the other side.
Like the thought you put into it, that's mm-hmm. crazy.
I said what, all her hats got Yankee signs. Yes. Nike checks on all her kicks.
And you remember your lyrics too.
Mm-hmm.
How hard is it to remember your lyrics as a
Before I started performing, really hard. After you start performing, you just start memorizing. Like, I'll make a song and like remember it the next day.
How?
I don't know. It's not it, like I was not like a
skill that musicians have, where their memory is just top tier.
I think that when you like have to when you make a song, you're listening to it over and over and over again. Like you listen to the song a lot more than everybody else does.
Got it.
And two, when you perform it. It puts you in a situation like where you're in front of people, you have to memorize it. It kind of like burns it into your mind after the performance because yeah. you're so full of adrenaline and like you don't want to like mess up. So it forces you to memorize it.
But there are artists that forget their words.
Yeah, I've definitely forgotten words before. And you also have to get good with improvising. With like,
making it up.
Yeah, like if you forget your words, you got to do, you don't even have to say anything. Just do something. Be like, yeah, turn up. Like,
yeah.
just do something to fill the space in, because what nobody likes to see a lack of confidence. Mm-hmm. So if you're performing and you got a lack of, like you mess up and you get scared or shook, like people gonna be like, ah, yeah, this guy's whack.
Yeah, I agree. That's a good tip. So yeah, I just want to use.
I definitely remember you guys' theme song because I like that song.
Yes, I just want to use this time to thank you for making the song.
No problem.
I really appreciate it, and that song is going everywhere with us. Like every time we post something, like that song, that beat is on there. So
no, yeah, I even like it with like without my like vocals on it. I like it too. Like I feel like it just fits.
Yeah, I feel like it'll always be a part of the podcast somehow. So it's like you give us a gift that keeps on giving.
I'm in the history books.
Yeah,
in the Bronx made history books.
Facts. And we would love to see you like perform sometime, maybe on the podcast. We don't have the setup for that right now, but eventually I think that would be awesome.
I'm down.
I'm putting you on the pressure right
here. I'm definitely down. we have a live band. Oh, well, I mentioned all of them, but like I'm sure they'd love to, like,
right.
Everybody at Some Children love to. Even if Some Children don't want to, I want to.
That's really cool. Oh my gosh. No, that's really awesome. So there's so many things we can talk about. I do want to go back selfishly to just what you thought about me back then in college versus now.
You can't.
You're one of the few people that knew me back then. Do you feel like there's a difference in me?
I feel like you're a bit more confident now. And maybe it's cause you have to speak to a camera like a lot, and you have to speak to people. And, I feel like that's like kind of like training to, you probably like are a good communicator at, like to regular people, like at your job or like on the street. And because I feel like when I first met you, you were definitely nervous.
Yeah,
yeah, like I met you at his house one time.
Yeah,
and you didn't speak much. Nah,
I was quiet.
You did not speak much that day. But like as you got like more comfortable, you started to talk. Yeah,
me not speaking is crazy.
You were talking to his sister.
I was talking to his sister. That's wild.
But like,
we're definitely gonna bleep out that name that you just mentioned.
Oof.
But yeah, that's crazy. Okay, so you've noticed like a change in my vibe.
I think so.
Well, damn, my alarm is ringing. We've gone so far over time.
Sorry.
We've gone over time because it was such a dope conversation. I loved having you on. I do want to wrap it up with the song of the pod. But before we head out, we have to say goodbye to our YouTube and Facebook viewers because YouTube will demonetize us. So please follow us at Casa Confessions Podcast and, you know, follow, support, leave a comment rating wherever you watch the podcast. So let's pull up the bye guys and we're going to pull up the song of the pod. Let's pull up the song of the pod.
Mm-hmm.
What song have you been listening to and vibing with lately that we want to enjoy with people?
Oof. I listened to a guy called Draft Day.
Okay.
He has a song called Under the Sun.
Oh, close to the sun. Try. Yeah. Yeah.
smoking some gums. Bitch staring at me, I must be pretty or something. She was off Henny and rum. I'm trying to fuck up my kidney or some. Put a six in the two, I just doubled my D's. Fell in love with the juice.
Johnny D Rocket on Instagram. Catch me on Spotify, Apple Music.
Switching my bitches like switching my switch. Nigga won't smoke, I'm fine. Miller can't wait to send a blitz. Two friends, twins, one wheel.